It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
This is Pete Fopiano sitting in for Steve Jackson, and we are in the midst of California Wine Country, which is sponsored by Bottle Barn and Della Tafola. And we have Dan Berger and Barry Herbst, who have just poured us a bottle of red. Would you want to, I mean, I can see it's red because it's in the glass. Now, I've exhausted my knowledge, and I'm going to turn it over to you.
So this is the D&L Carinelli Pinot Noir from Russian River Valley. Been a great seller in the store for a while now. We just rolled from the 15 into the 16 vintage. Probably sold 400 cases of the 15, and this is already off to a great start, the 16. Both great years in that area. And this is one I think Dan pointed out I think could use some decanting. It's a little more firm than the 15 was at the end of the run there. You know, it had been out for almost a full year. So I would advise people that picked this up, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes in the decanter would really bring a lot out in this. It's already changing.
Yeah, even sitting in the glass and swirling, it helps it a lot. This is pretty astounding wine. We're not going to give you the price for a couple of seconds here, so you can think about this. Mm-hmm. While you think about how good it is, we'll tell you how good it is.
Yeah, well, and they're in a really good neighborhood.
Well, it's got a little of that cranberry note to it. The berries usually out this way are more strawberry, but the strawberry hasn't really gotten into the wine just yet. It's got more of the cranberry notes to it, sort of wild and a little rustic. But what I like about it most is that it's got pure Pinot Noir flavors without any extraction of oak or extraction of the color components to make the wine heavy. It's lighter. This is like the all-purpose red wine. It goes with virtually anything. It would even go with salmon and tuna. It really has a lot of weight to it, in spite of the fact that it's not at all heavy. It's sort of delicate in some way. So I would definitely decant this for a couple of hours before I would drink it. But I think that the interesting thing here, Barry, the price.
Yeah, so they're in the neighborhood with big-name guys like Daehlinger and Kissler and Costa.
This would
Brown
be $50.
Yeah, they're in the $50, $60, $70 range. And because these guys have no overhead and it's a family-run operation, head-to-toe, we're able to sell this for $16.99. So
this is
ridiculous. See that often with Russian River on the label.
You never see a wine of this caliber under $20. You just don't see it.
And judging how the 15 progressed, aging this would be great. You know, if you just forgot about it for a few years.
And D&L Carinelli has been entering my wine competition, our wine competition. Julianne and I run a wine competition. It's an international. We have done it for 37 years. And they enter every single year, and they either get silver or gold every single year. And they're always bypassed on the shelf because people don't know the brand. There's not much marketing going on there. This is a fabulous property that nobody knows about.
Yeah, the case card on this at the store is impressive. At least 4 gold medals, one from the San Francisco Chronicle competition. I think yours is on there, and then one other, maybe L.A., International, and you know, they put in a lot of events and win frequently. It's a great style of wine and super well priced. So.
What would you recommend this be served with?
Well, here again, you're talking about a lighter style of red wine. It doesn't have a lot of tannin, so if you were to try to push this onto a steak, I think the steak would win because it's just, the wine doesn't have enough substance for that. But, boy, you think about any chicken dish that you make, including even such things as there's such good acidity, you could even serve it with tomato sauce dishes. But I think ideally with the flavors that are in here, anything that's got some Italian spices, oregano, maybe a little bit of, some thyme and some maybe a little almost a trace of cumin would help to bring out some of these. This is such a fruity wine, but it's a substantive wine. I wouldn't drink this right away because of the way it is coming across. It's so young. But if you decanted this for a couple of hours, you won't be able to put the glass down. This is just wonderful stuff.
One other note about this. This is one of the wines that's on our website right now where if you're not in the area, you can buy it online, and any 6 bottles from our store, which is a cold-out portion of our stock, it's free shipping anywhere in the United States on 6 bottles or more. Mm. So if you're not close to Bottle Barn, you could dial some of this up for $16.99 and no shipping and no sales tax if you're out of state. So,
yeah, that's a real bargain. I wrote a column for our newsletter. We do a newsletter every week as well. Well, not every week these days. I'm too busy. But every now and then we do a newsletter. But I wrote about Pinot Noir the other day, and we were talking about if you're paying $50 for a good wine that's made from cool climate Sonoma County grapes, if you're not paying $50, it's a bargain.
Right.
And here's a $17 bottle of wine that'll blow all the rest of them away.
Yeah, and these guys are doing a great job. And we've luckily there's been a lot of large yield years recently, which has helped, as a buyer, it really helps me out because it's kept the prices down and people are anxious to get on to their next vintage and usually provides a lot of really good opportunities.
That's a tasty one. Pete, what do you think? You like it?
I like it.
I think it's delicious.
I think it's excellent.
And if we had some food here, it would be even more.
That's right. And, well, and Dan, I have to chastise you because yesterday you brought cheese and crackers. Yesterday you brought food, and today you did not. So
okay.
This is one demerit here. Yeah. We're going to have to overcome this.
That and then not follow through. Yeah. Roast duck would have been nice.
Wait a minute,
cherry sauce.
That's true.
I think things are getting out of hand here.
A little roast leg of lamb, perhaps something like that. The next time you come in to make up for this little.
Kathy and I are talking about this. Don't worry about it.
Okay, well, just wait to be surprised the next time you come in with what you've got here.
Okay.
Hey, Mike, we got time for a break here? Oh, we got a few minutes left, so we got some time. It's okay, everybody.
Okay.
As soon as I said we've got more time, everybody picked up a bottle. I don't know what
we got a little panicky.
It was like a magic signal here. It's like, okay, we got more time. Give me the wine. Okay, what are we pouring now?
Okay, so this wine we used. I don't know if you know, like how a restaurant has a soft opening. We did a soft opening for our flash sales on our website. And this was our first wine that we used. Really incredible deal I came across from Santa Barbara. And it is a Super Tuscan blend, which is Cabernet, Merlot, and Sangiovese. In a very hefty bottle, fancy package. I can tell you the winery sells this wine for $75. It's Westerly is the winery. I didn't know them before. This is a Fletcher's Red blend, they call it. Hmm. And I got this on a closeout deal. San Ynez Valley. Big, rich style wine. You know, if you like bold Napa Cabernet, this is probably up your alley. And we're able to get this on a closeout, $17.99.
Wow. So, I have to say, I'll turn this over to Dan for the specifics, but as I'm smelling this, it definitely has more, I call it more presence, a bolder smell and whatnot to it. It smells... I'll say the word heavier, even though that's probably not the correct terminology.
Well, the word presence really does speak to what this wine is. It's big and it's rich, but it doesn't fail to give you that tomato leaf aromatic that Sangiovese typically offers. Mm-hmm. And this is really a lovely expression of that with decent acidity, obviously some oak. And the oak is really playing a role here, but it's not over the top. It's really got some...
It doesn't take over. I like that.
No, it's integrated all together.
There are hints of it. You can definitely taste that there's oak involved here.
But what I like about this product is that it's really a California wine with no pretensions. I mean, this is really an opportunity to drink something that's like a richer style, more bold style wine. If you've got beef stew, steak, anything that's heavy and rich, this will go with it.
Yeah, and I could see why they felt that this is worth $75. It's a lavish wine and definitely a lot of there was no expense spared, I think, in the winemaking and the oak they chose. But, you know, it's a tough market
sure.
to do.
Yeah, French oak.
The Italian blend's a little rougher go than trying to sell Napa Valley Cabernet. So, it worked out for us in the long run. Mm-hmm. This same deal on the website, 6 bottles, free shipping. So,
one of the... surprise problems that people have had over the last few years of making unknown blends is that people in this country don't really have as much knowledge as they ought to about the impact of varietals. If you see the name Sangiovese on a label, that doesn't tell you very much other than the fact that the grape is in there. But that doesn't mean to say that the label will indicate to you exactly what you're going to get or close to what you're going to get. This is a really impressive bottle of wine. And $75, I can see why they thought they were going to get that. Yeah. I can also see why they didn't.
Right.
Because the wine is really good, but the label doesn't give you any clue.
Yeah, from a marketing perspective, it'd just be tough go. And we're seeing that category is really growing. Wineries are making more of just not necessarily super Tuscans, but red blends. And I think they're a little more optimistic about it than the public is so far. But yeah, it may take down the road. And there's getting to be some crazy blends out there sometimes, you know, 11 and 12 different grapes. Yeah. And I think it might confuse the consumer sometimes. And what's it going to taste like when you have that many grapes in there? So.
It's the old story about how sweet is that Riesling.
Right.
I mean, you know, if people walk in the shop and they ask the clerk, how sweet is that Riesling? And the clerk says, I'm 19, I don't know.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break here. And, you know, I see a couple of unopened bottles here on the table. So I'm going to challenge my guests to see is like, can we get through the unopened bottles before it's time to end the show? Yeah, so we're going to give it our best shot. We are here in California wine country with our wine guru. We've just given you a new title, Dan. Dan Berger, our wine guru. And we have also Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn. And, of course, California Wine Country is sponsored by Bottle Barn and by Della Tafola. And during the break, we have just been poured a glass of Cabernet Franc. Dan?
Cabernet Franc from Jed Steele. It's got his name on the label, which means that he really is proud of it because he has a couple of other designations that he uses for lower priced and lower quality wines, although nothing's low quality from Jed. Jed's a very talented guy. In fact, one of the best in California. This Cab Franc is one of the surprises we tasted over the last several weeks. This is a really bold wine, but it's not big. It's bold without being too big. It's aged in French oak. It's got some real character of Cabernet Franc. It is a grape variety that does extremely well in Lake County. This is from Lake County where Jed's located. This wine is absolutely stunning wine. It's got a little bit of that dried herb character, almost a little bit like sage. But what I really like is that dramatic fruit up front. It's not tutti frutti. It's subtly fruity. And that subtle fruitiness is part of the Cabernet family. I think his structure here is impeccable. You can't get a better Cabernet-style wine. And this is the Franc rather than the Cabernet Sauvignon. And the deal is, there's a full suggested retail on this is $20.
Yeah,
which means that in the Napa Valley, you couldn't find anything like this. And this is Lake County, and that's why the price is so low.
Yeah, I find it more towards the Loire Valley style of Cabernet Franc than the big, rich, kind of Parker-like Saint-Emilion Cabernet Franc. It's very
totally
delicate,
agree with
herbal.
You. And the difference here is that the oak was used so carefully that you almost don't know it's there. In the aftertaste, you can pick up a little. But this wine is going to age like gangbusters. Another 6, 7, or 8 years and go for it.
Really well done.
Now, if I was inviting people over for dinner and had this wine, what do you recommend I serve with them?
I would say salmon because the tannins are not aggressive. But you want to decant this for at least an hour before you get to it so that the tannins even have a chance to mollify a little bit. When you finally put this on the table, put it in a big, giant glass so people can swirl and swirl and swirl and get more air into it.
Yeah.
And then that salmon starts to jump out of the plate and becomes really – there's a compatibility to those kinds of dishes.
Hmm. And yeah, you can go easily between meat and seafood.
Oh, yeah. You could tuna on this. You could go any heavy chicken dish. I wouldn't go steak again because – I mean, you could, of course. Mm. But if you char-grill that steak – The charring will block some of the character of this wine.
What maybe about seafoods like prawn or shrimp or something?
I think prawns might be a little. I mean, obviously, if you do prawns with lots of garlic and lots of olive oil in the pan and you fry them up like that, that'll probably work. But I think most times prawns are done too delicately for a wine this substantive.
Mm. So you'd want to have something with a little more body in the food, actually, to compare with
this.
Yeah,
and especially with seasoning. In typical prawns cooking, you don't want to use too much heavy flavoring. Mm. So
maybe steak au poivre, you get that peppery quality.
Steak au poivre, that would be great for this. Yeah, steak au poivre, it's black pepper.
You don't have the smoky part you get from the grill. It would.
Green pepper. The steak that has been cooked with green peppers, haven't seen that in a while, but that's a wonderful combination of flavors for this wine.
Yeah. Interesting.
Makes me hungry.
I want to break in for a quick second and say that to our listeners, California Wine Country is available as a podcast at calwinecountry.com, wherever podcasts are offered on the web. So be sure to subscribe, and you can have new episodes delivered to your device every week. So you can basically, it's like you're joining us here in the studio talking about wine. Again, that's calwinecountry.com for the podcast. And I have a question for Dan that just came up to me. Is I grew up in an Italian family, and every single dinner we had raviolis. Of the wines that we've had here today, what do you think would be best to serve with raviolis?
Two elements. Number one is how much fat and protein are in those dishes. And the more fat, the more protein you want, something heavier and richer in red. If it turns out to be one of those dishes that doesn't have a lot of fat and protein, so it's a very delicate ravioli dish, maybe stuffed with some seafood and maybe served with a white wine sauce or maybe even a little cream sauce, go for richer styles of Chardonnay or barrel-fermented Sauvignon Blanc, things like that, so that there's a compatibility to the weight. It's not the flavor profile you're looking for. It's the weight of the wine.
So that they balance each other out.
Yeah,
and don't
the sauce is
with
the important thing. Yeah. If it's tomato-based, high-acid, you want kind of a high-acid wine that'll kind of reach up and meet that flavor profile.
Otherwise, you know, it's just you're not even going to taste the wine.
I would imagine if you've got one that's
Okay, well, we've got a couple of minutes left, and do we have
one more wine?
All right, we're going to go for it.
I heard somebody here like Zinfandel, so.
Zinfandel is something that I would imagine anybody listening has heard of Zinfandel. Yeah. If you haven't, I don't know where you've been the last few decades.
They just got out of a cave.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, which winery is this?
This is another really small producer like Carinelli. This is a Tonti winery. Who I came across because he won the sweepstakes award for best red wine a couple years ago at the Chronicle Wine Competition. And he's got this really old vineyard in Russian River Valley, over 100 years old. This wine is produced from the same vineyard that that sweepstakes wine came from. It's different vintage, different parcel within that area. But his wines have been very consistent. This is definitely not the delicate style of Zin. I think it's 15.9 alcohol. So it's full throttle, but
it's
I think you'll taste it.
Very bold, to say the least, I have to say.
But I don't find it hot or painful in any way with the alcohol like I do on some. And super rich wine, very kind of classic, you know, full throttle Zinfandel. And
if you like blue cheese, you buy this wine. That's all you need in life. That's it. Blue cheese and this wine. Yeah, this is going to be good stuff.
Well, maybe a couple of crackers thrown in.
Yeah, maybe a cracker or two. Yeah, you don't. The cracker's optional.
Yeah. And this is another one that's online. We're selling it for $22.99 a bottle. And you can mix it with other bottles online and get that free shipping if you're not in the area.
Excellent. Well, we are almost out of time, but I have to say is that one of the things that I personally have found most fascinating is that a lot of vintners, a lot of growers, a lot of varieties that I personally am not familiar with, and it's just amazed at the diversity, and not only the diversity of the types of wine grown, but the diversity between various wineries as to how they choose to produce their wine. So I hope those of you who are listening have picked up some holiday tips as to what to serve your guests or what to bring if you are a guest. And with that, I'm going to say thank you very much to Dan Berger, Barry Herbst, California Wine Country. I'm sorry you missed all this wine, Steve, because I know you're going to, you know, you would miss it. This is Pete Fopiano substituting here for Steve Jackson on the drive. We're wishing you a good night, a good week. Take care.